Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from the 10th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew 10 and 28. Jesus Christ speaking in what we call the limited commission says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Once again, a pleasant good morning. Appreciative of your attendance here as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Beginning a new month together of study and faithfulness. To those listening by way of radio, we appreciate you tuning us in as well. I want you to know that you are truly our honored guest, and we would love for you to come join us any chance that you may have here in the building at Faulkner Springs Road here at the Arlington Church of Christ. There was a grandfather who was having problems with his email, and so he called his grandson to come over to the house, and they get on the internet and they go to his email, and the grandson says, "Papa, what's your password?" And he said, "It's a long one. Are you ready?" And he said, "I'm ready." He said, "It's Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, Daisy Duck, Goofy, Pluto, Nashville." He said, "Papa, why such a long password?" And he said, "Well, it said it needed to be 6 characters and a capital." See, Dwayne, those are Disneyland. Dwayne knows that. We're starting a new series. First off, as a bonus for you, a Bible reading plan that I have been doing for a handful of years now. I want to encourage you to join it with me. And it works best if you start on the first of the month. Every day, I read a proverb. One chapter in the book of Proverbs with the corresponding day. So this morning I read Proverbs chapter 1. Tomorrow I will read Proverbs chapter 2, and then the next day the 3rd. And guess how many days are in May? There's 31. And guess how many Proverbs there are? There are 31. I have been doing this reading program for years, and I love it, and I wanted to encourage you to do it as well. But it's the easiest to explain when you start a new month. So if you want to do that, I feel you will have just new insights just pop up all around you. We're beginning a new series in the month of May, Lord willing, as He permits us to be here in our 11 o'clock service every Sunday this month. We're going to talk about 5 things that we as Christians can overcome. So today we'll start out with overcoming fear. We're going to overcome fear, Lord willing, today. Now here is the thing. If you talk to a psychologist, they say that human beings are born with 2 natural fears. We have the innate fear of falling, and when we are born, we have the fear of noise. Now, we soon develop many other fears, this, that, and the other, but those are 2 instinctive fears that we all have in common. We still don't like to fall. Nothing I hate worse than as soon as I get to sleep and I dream to have fallen and I can't go back to sleep. We hate that, right? We hate loud noise. Interestingly, I would almost be afraid to know how many phobias, or phobia means fear of, I'd be afraid to know how many phobias truly are listed. Because as soon as you find one, you find something, somebody's afraid of that. There was a psychology class of 500 people, and they were polled, "What are you afraid of?" And they wound up with 7,000 different fears. Now that's a return rate that I would like to have in business, but not in a psychology class on fear. This morning, I want us to talk about overcoming fear, because I'm a firm believer, and the Bible illustrates it, that we can overcome fear. And so I want us to see how we can do that today. 4 simple things about overcoming fear. Number one, the Bible speaks of 2 different kinds of fear. And so it helps for us to become better acquainted as what fear is or isn't. The first kind of fear is a commanded fear. It is one that we are supposed to have. It may better be defined as respect, honor, reverence, or a sense of awe. When you fear someone like that, you are just in total awe of them. Total respect of what they have maybe done for you. For instance, this is the appropriate fear that we are to have for God. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for God will bring every work of the judgment, good or bad. When he says fear God, that's not tucked down in a fetal position. Be upset, be afraid. When I fear God and I keep His commandments, I hold God in reverence. I hold God in respect. What He has said, I honor that. Go with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, and you'll see this kind of fear again here. Acts 9 and 31, we've had the conversion account, if you will, of Saul of Tarsus. Now he's preaching. Acts 9, 31, then had the churches rest, because Saul is no longer persecuting the church, throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and they ratified. Watch this. They're walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Doing this, they were multiplied. Now, they weren't literally walking around. Their lifestyle was that of reverence, that reverential fear of God. I like what the Hebrew writer says of Noah in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah moved with fear to the preparing of an ark. Noah wasn't afraid of God, therefore he built the ark. Noah respected God's commands. It had never rained, yet he said it's going to rain. Here are your exact dimensions. Noah, by faith, he was moved with reverence, with respect, with awe, and with honor. And this kind of fear, it leads to holiness. Leads to holiness. Go with me there, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians 7 and the first verse. Notice what Paul says, and it can only be done, really, if you have the right kind of fear. He says, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, what he's just talked about in the previous chapter, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, in the all reverence, honor, respect of God. See, this kind of fear, it leads us to holiness because I want to cleanse myself from all things that make me filthy or all things that make me impure. This kind of fear, go with me to Philippians 2 and the 12th verse, it leads us to work out our own salvation. Yes, working out as a Christian is a requirement. Philippians 2 and 12, watch this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, or wherefore, beloved, excuse me, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now you're going to find a lot of people in this world, this very hour, misapplying this verse. And they say, oh, he told me to work out my own salvation, which means if I just want to jump up and down and say I'm saved, I'm saved. And if you want to be baptized, you can be baptized. That's not what he says. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Fear of God, what's that mean? When I honor, respect, hold His word in awe, when I work out my salvation, I'm going to read what He said in His word, and that's how I'm going to live. I'm going to do thus saith the Lord. I'm not going to try to throw in my own plan. In evangelism, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore, knowing the terror of fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Because I know that God's judgment is just. He is a righteous God, but He will seek vengeance on those that don't do His will. That makes me want to go out and evangelize to spread the good word because I hold His word in reverence and in respect. So that's the good kind of fear. That's the one that we want. The other one is a forbidden fear. It might be synonymous with dread, with alarm or fright or terror, apprehension, anxiety, perplexity, or even distrust. This is not the kind of fear that God wants us to have. In fact, go back to Psalm 91 and verse 5. I would dare say it's forbidden. Psalm 91 and the 5th verse of this psalm. Psalm 91 and 5. If I could read, it'd be a good day. Psalm 91, 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. He says, I shouldn't be afraid of things. I shouldn't be alarmed, have distrust over these things. I should instead hold God in respect. And Jesus even says in Luke 12, 32, to fear not. Well, logically, Jesus is not going to tell me to hold God, to not hold God's word respect. So he has to be talking about the other kind of fear. I fear not. Now, this kind of fear is not to be confused with caution. See, I am very cautious of things. For instance, a fear of being run over will cause one to look both ways for crossing the street. Actually, I was taught look to the left, right, then left again before you run. But I have a fear of being run over, so I'm going to try to make sure I don't get run over. A fear of polio back in the day, a lot of people did what? They took the polio vaccine. Eradicated polio, more or less. I know it's still out there, more or less. Because there was a fear of that. See, now this is a normal kind of fear. I tell you what, before we had a pandemic, I was always a little fearful at the end of January and February when flu was going around. I was trying not to go out and just like lick doorknobs or whatever because I was afraid of getting sick. So I was cautious, right? And I was washing my hands more, which is the logical thing to do. But that's not, that's caution. That's me, precautionary measure, not getting sick or not wanting to get run over. You know, I'm cautious when I see electric fence. Is it really hooked up or not? Well, I'm going to be cautious. You know, that's different than, I'm not afraid of electric fences. Been shocked enough. I know, I'm not afraid of electric fences. I'm cautious. That's different. See, we have a fear that's reverence of God. That's the one we need, not the one where it's forbidden. We move on. Where does fear operate? Some areas where fear operates. I tell you what, and this one get a lot of people, men fear failure. Failure is going to keep a lot of people from succeeding. Not just failing, but they fear failing. They're afraid of failing. You know how I know? Go back to Matthew 25 and verse 25. There's the story of the parable of the talents, and we'll reference this man again. But there was a man who was given five talents. He went out and doubled it, brought back five more. Now he had ten. There was a man who had two talents, went out and doubled his, brought back two more, makes four. Statistically, though, their percentage brought back was the same. They doubled their money. And then the one talent man, he said, I was afraid. I know how strict you are. I was afraid, so I went and I hid it in the ground. See, he was afraid. That caused him to fail, but he was afraid of failing, so he didn't even progress further. What about 1 Corinthians 15 and 58? Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know your labor is not in vain. See, we promised success in important things in working for the Lord. God didn't say you're going to have a successful business, or be the most famous in whatever field. He said when you're working for the Lord, you're going to have success. So we shouldn't fear success. Don't be that one talent man for a lot of reasons, but this one. What else? Man fears the unknown future. This is a big one too, right? Oh, what we would give if we could just know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next. And I hate to say it, dear brethren, the fear of the unknown future has kept a lot of the congregations of the Lord's church from growing. They say, we don't know if it's going to work or not. Well, have you tried it? Fear of the future has kept a lot of congregations from expanding. They say, well, we don't know if it's going to work or not. You could double this if you tried. It's kept a lot of congregations from building, from adding. Fear of the unknown has kept a lot of congregations in the Lord's church from working, doing the simple works of a Christian. Why? We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's happening either. But I'd much rather be on the day of judgment and God says, hey, I appreciate you trying. I know that effort didn't go the way you wanted to, but there was still seed sown. See, men fear the unknown future. Men fear responsibility. Fear operates in responsibility. Go back to the one talent man. He didn't want the responsibility. That would have been hard to go out even with one talent. It's about 60 some odd pounds of gold. It's a lot of gold to double it. It was a lot of work. He didn't want the responsibility. Go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, if you will. Because of fear, that reference there in Deuteronomy, the Israelites, they shirked a lot of their work. We won't get into the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 1. It is an interesting read, though. But notice here, Luke 5 and verse 10. Fear will keep us from fishing for men. Notice this. Jesus, so it was with James and John. He's calling his apostles, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch fish. Which means, if you fear, it's going to keep you from being a fisher of men. It's going to keep you from the goal. You have responsibility as a Christian. Fear says, I don't want to do it. No, it's worth it. Trust me. Working for the Lord is always worth it. What else? Fear. Men fear old age. Men and women fear old age. Go back to the book of Leviticus, if you will. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. No reason to fear old age. In fact, the Bible says it should be praised. Leviticus 19 and the 32nd verse. The book of laws is Leviticus giving commands. Notice, thou shalt rise up, Leviticus 19:32, before the hoary head. Now that's King James. Newer translations will say the gray head. He says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am the Lord. So here, they were to take the elders of the community and praise them and respect them, almost giving them the same reverential respect they would give the Lord. Not quite, because they're not God, but something akin to that, no doubt. What about the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Check that one with me. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Notice this. Solomon passing down words of wisdom. The hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. So the old saint who has been living as a Christian their entire life, they are to be respected. No need to fear old age. Guess what? Noah Webster did not publish his dictionary until he was 70. Moses was chosen, handpicked by God to lead his people at 80. His life was two-thirds over. Abraham did not even know really who God was till he was about 75. Don't fear old age. In fact, it is a glorious thing, especially when you spend old age in the church, when you spend it being faithful to God. You know, men, they'll fear insecurity. We're told not to have fears. Jesus talks about that at length in the Sermon on the Mount. Fear not, worry not. You can't make yourself taller. You can't make yourself nicer. You can't, really, you're just going to worry too much. Go back, if you're in Proverbs, to that psalm. Psalm number 37 and verse 25. Notice this. Psalm 37 and 25. Notice what David says here. Because men fear insecurity. David says, I have been young and I am now old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen his seed begging bread. David said, I've lived a lot. I've lived some stuff that David probably wasn't too proud of, because I've read the story of David. But yet he says, I've never in any day of my life seen the righteous forsaken. Don't be insecure. God will take care of the righteous in some way, shape, form. He's not going to give you a mansion and an unlimited bank account. God takes care of those that are his. What else? Men, I tell you what, men fear what others will say about them. Or if not say, they fear what they'll think about them. Notice this, Luke chapter 12. Go with me there, if you will. This is a parallel of the limited commission, if you will. Luke 12 and verse 4, Jesus Christ says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that which have no power that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What's Jesus saying? Don't worry about what the people, they're going to preach the gospel. Don't worry about what they say about you. Don't worry about what they think about you, because the worst they could do is kill you. Instead, you need to be concerned about God, because God has the ability to not only kill you, to put you in hell, put you in a place of torments. Think about this. When we fear what others may say or think about us, it often will cause us to do the wrong. You know how I know? Go back to that story in Matthew 26. There, after they partake of the Lord's Supper, and it's the longest night of Christ's life, it seems, because everything's happening, boom, boom, boom. He's going to be tried six times, 3 before Romans, 3 before Jews. And Peter was concerned what the people would say about him. So when a woman comes up and says, aren't you with him? I don't know who he is. And a little while later, a damsel comes up. Hey, you don't talk like us. You must be with him. I don't know. 3 times before the rooster crew. Peter was afraid of what people thought about him, and it caused him to stumble. In fact, when the rooster crew, Luke says he looked at Jesus and began weeping. Think about Peter again. We're about 30 years into the church at this point, Galatians 2, give or take a year. Peter had a problem, so much that Paul had to go face to face and withstand him. Why? Because Because if you're a Gentile, Peter ate with you until the Jews were coming from Jerusalem, and then he wouldn't really have anything to do with you. See the phrase, what the Jewish Christians would say back in Jerusalem. See, he was too afraid of what people would say about him, and so that caused him to falter. Don't be like that. One more. Fear. Well, men fear death. You know? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2, because many are slaves to the fear of death. They're not slaves to death. They're afraid of dying at any given point. Notice what the Hebrew writer says, but then we'll move on. And deliver them who through the fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. So there are people who go through this life and every step they take, they're afraid that's going to be their last. And so they're worried about dying every step and they miss living life. We shouldn't worry about that. Why? Keep going. Hebrews 9:27. It's the point a man wants to die and after this comes a judgment. That's the great reward for the faithful Christian. In fact, it's the gateway to bliss. That's what Paul says, those in Philippi. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt. I'd rather be there with God, but you need me here. So for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'd rather be there, but you need me here. So I'll stay here for you as long as God permits. And notice this. Oh, I love this one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know the Lord. You know Psalm 23. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We don't need to fear because Jesus is going to lead us right there by the hand. He's our shepherd. We are his sheep. See, fear messes with people. It'll stop them from living their lives. We move on to point number three. What about fear? Sadly, there are some tragic effects of fear. Fear, and I'm sure Gary can talk a lot better, seeing people from the medical side, that they're just all bent out of shape. I know they are because I hear about them, and I'm kind of glad I don't see them every day, but Godspeed. Fear makes a wretched experience, and it'll warp the personality. Go back to 1 Samuel 28, look at Saul. I mean, Saul was just so afraid of what David was going to do that Saul quit acting logically, on many accounts, of course. I tell you what, Moses feared God the wrong way at the burning bush, and he feared Pharaoh. And because of that, he was trying to prevent doing God's will. And Moses offers excuse after excuse after excuse. And what happens? Moses says, Lord, I can't talk. You know, I don't have a good speech pattern. He said, well, you don't know this, but your brother Aaron's coming up the mountain. He can talk well. He said, God, I don't know. Who shall I say sent me? And he's telling them, I am sent you. Well, they won't believe me. All right, throw your rod down. It becomes a snake. Pick it back up. Put your hand in it. It becomes lepers. Every time that Moses made an excuse, God combated it. God's saying, don't fear. Fear will render one almost useless. I mean, some people, they're just so afraid. They just curl up in a ball almost. Fear brings on the very thing that we're afraid of. Think about Peter. I feel like I'm picking on Peter. I'm not. I like Peter, but bless his heart. You got that story of Matthew 14 where they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And that's, you know, they see Jesus walking on the water. They're scared to death. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me come out and walk on the water. Of course, who else is going to do that? Anyways, he says, if it's you, and Christ says, come. Peter grabs his hand. He steps out. Everything's great. He looks at the water, and he starts to sink. Why? He was afraid. Christ picks him back up. I mean, that's just Peter. Peter did that time and time and time again. And sadly, go with me to Revelation 21 and verse 8, and we'll move on to our final point. Fear will cause one to be lost. Revelation, the second to last chapter in the whole Bible, Revelation 21:8. We call this the long laundry list of sins that are going to be in hell, right? Normally we focus on the end of the verse, the and all liars part, because that kind of sums it up. But notice, but the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. But who's he start with? Oh, he starts with the fearful. That's the wrong kind of fear. So, what we've all come here for, how do I overcome fear then? How can I do it? Because it's possible. Go back to Proverbs 28 verse 1. Proverbs 28 and 1. I know it says Psalms, it's wrong. Proverbs 28:1. I love this verse. I use this verse to not go jogging, but that's not really why you apply it. Proverbs 28:1. Notice what Solomon says. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. See, he says, it's strictly forbidden. You don't need to just flee just because. You don't need to just be afraid of everything just because. But you can overcome. Do you know the word fear? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Any of those derivatives appear about 365 times in Scripture. Do you know there's approximately 365 days in a year? Therefore, I've got one scriptural reason a day why I shouldn't fear. Just because. I don't think that's an accident. I didn't write the Bible, but I don't think it's an accident. How to overcome fear. Number one, remember it's forbidden. Number two, if I will just enthrone Christ, I won't fear. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice this. We were there in our first sermon this morning, but we're back here now. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 14. Peter says, but and if, it sounds like it's going to happen to me, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Why? Sanctify God always in your heart. Set Him apart. Always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason. Watch this. Of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. Not afraid to give Him an answer with reverential respect for the Lord. So if I enthrone Christ, if I put Him first and realize I will suffer as a Christian, that'll help me overcome fear. What else? I got to put my trust in God. Isaiah 26:3 talks about keep in mind His perfect peace. Peace which passes all understanding. See, faith is the foe of fear. That's fun to say. Faith is the foe of fear. So if I put my trust in God and increase that, then I have less to be fearful of, less to be concerned about that way. What else? Never lose sight of being in God's presence. You know, we move around a lot as human beings. God doesn't. God's eyes are always fixed, Bible principle, in the same spot. We're the ones who get out of line over here or get out of line over there. But instead, never lose sight of being in His presence, always living for Him. What else can you do? Go to Philippians 4 and verse 13. We take counsel. Never take counsel of your fears. Why? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Back in the war between the states, there was a battle in the Shenandoah Valley, and a general was fearful of a planned attack. And so he went up to General Stonewall Jackson, and he was told by Jackson, and I quote, "General, never take counsel of your fears." He was more afraid what was going to go wrong in the battle than what he thought he could do right in the battle. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier when we're fearful if we stop thinking about everything we're fearful of and start thinking about how great God is and everything I can overcome with God. And then finally, and this should really be always there, pray. You know, we're fearful. We don't know what's going to happen, but we trust in God. We pray always, pray without ceasing. Can we overcome fear? Yes. I want you to notice this. What are you afraid of? One final verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Actually, my wife's favorite passage in Scripture. Has it on a necklace. 2 Peter 1 and verse 7. Notice this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of a sound mind and of love, or of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what are you afraid of? You can overcome your fears with God. Very quickly. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about overcoming procrastination. But until then, how are you doing? You'll see that again. How are you doing, spiritually speaking? Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Only fear God and keep His commandments. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning and you want to be. You realize the reverential awesomeness of God and you want to be submissive to His plans. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. If you're not a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation song to encourage you to become one this morning. If you are a Christian, we encourage you to hang in there. Be faithful to the very end. If you're not faithful, why not come back and repent of those sins? If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be this very morning, please let it be known while we stand.